Ahava, blessings. Welcome to this episode of Embodying the Shekhinah. This podcast is here to support and guide us during these times of accelerating energy to integrate, embody, remember our soul essence. I am your host. My name is Aria. I am an ordained Magdalene priestess, a Reiki master energy and sound healer. And in this episode, I'm going to be sharing with you some wisdom on Imbolc. So Imbolc is happening on the 3rd. We just had the Lunar New Year. The new cycle of Aquarius Shavat began on the 30th. And there is a lot of energy. Imbolc is the midpoint between the winter solstice and the spring equinox. And it is a powerful time of rebirth, of regeneration, of fertility, of new beginnings. Imbolc means in the belly, and it is a beautiful earth holiday that is aligned with the goddess Bridget. And the goddess Bridget is a fiery goddess. There is the Bridget flame, and I have some beautiful friends who are Bridget priestesses, and she holds the energy of rebirth, of renewal, of healing, of tending to the fires of creation, tending to the fires of your passion. And this is the time when the earth is beginning to stir. The seeds are beginning to be planted. Early flowers may be beginning to bloom. So it's a time of a stirring, an awakening. It is when the kundalini of the earth is beginning to wake up. And it's a beautiful time to actually go forth and start seeding your intentions. If you listen to my episode on 2025 and the new year, I did say dead of winter, probably not the best time to be beginning, you know, seeding new intentions, because it's really important to honor the cycles. If the cycle is one of hibernation, is one of basically being in the cave, in the womb, waiting to reemerge, if the energy of the earth is, it's not stagnant or dead. The energy of the earth during the dead of winter, when we celebrate the new year, is an energy of inwardness. It's an energy of retrospection, of introspection, of going within, of resting, of nourishing, of really taking care of yourself so you can reemerge come spring, come the spring equinox, reemerge in your full glory. And in Imbolc, at Imbolc, we're beginning to stir. So we're beginning to wake up. We're beginning to feel the energy rising and our passion stirring and our growth. We're beginning to grow. We're beginning to feel into what is it that we wish to birth and create, and what energies and frequencies are we willing to play with now that it's a time to basically rebirth ourselves. So it's a perfect time, especially we just had the new moon, to really ask yourself, what are you birthing into the world with your powerful creative energy, with the light of the divine, with the kundalini of the cosmos, and the kundalini of the earth, and your kundalini, your sexual creative energy? What are you birthing? What is the frequency of what you wish to birth into the world? And here comes the huba. The huba is the Aramaic word that means holy desire. It means the desire of the soul. It is that fire that we hold within, it is that igniting force behind our creations. It basically is that igniting factor. differentiate, I actually say desire of the soul, because the desire of the soul is the desire of the divine. While our egoic desires, those are the desires of our programs, our patterns, our karmas, our limiting beliefs, of basically this world of duality where we are trained and indoctrinated and programmed to think that we need to have the biggest house on the block or have the nicest car, or we need to have a better looking spouse or a better house than our neighbor or than our family member. You see how all of those desires that I mentioned, the seed for those desires is a desire to compare ourselves and to be better than someone else. So it is not a desire that is inherent and natural and within and aligned with the light. It's a desire that is birthed from separation. It is birthed from trauma. It is birthed from the lower dense frequencies of envy, of anger, of pride, of basically the seven demons. So we have all of these seeds of destruction and chaos and envy and anger and gluttony and greed. We have all those seeds within us because we were born through the tree of duality, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But there were two trees in the Garden of Eden. There was the tree of life and the tree of the garden of the knowledge of good and evil. The soul's urging, the soul's mission is to awaken from the world of duality that we were birthed in through the knowledge, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and come back into our divine essence, into the tree of life, into activating the tree of life template within us. And that means we remember who we are. We remember our soul essence. We remember that we are, and we, it's not just we though, it's we and every being outside of us, even those that have wronged us. And I know that that's a difficult pill to swallow, because some of us, or all of us, have been hurt, wounded, really traumatized by another being. And that makes us believe in our goodness, but not that they too hold that same goodness, that same spark of the divine. What we need to remember is that to be birthed into this world through the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, through the divine frequencies, into this world of duality, we are here to experience duality. We are here to learn how to master our energy so we can transcend duality and come back into our wholeness, into our oneness. In order to do this, we basically agreed to certain parameters. We agreed and made this contract with the divine, with Alaha, God, Goddess. And we agreed to be born, we agreed to our name, we agreed to our family, our ethnic background, our culture, our language. We agreed. We entered into a sacred pact with the divine, a contract, to be incarnated, to experience certain things in this life, in this life of forgetfulness, where we forget who we are, in order to come back into wholeness and into oneness and into divine union. And to do that, one person had to agree to play the part of the villain, and the other person the part of the victim. Because this is how this world of polarity in this life works. So we agreed, and that person agreed to take on the hardest role in many ways, because I may have mentioned this before, but I'm going to repeat it. In order to play out the harshest, most egregious acts another spark of the divine. That's a lot of trauma that soul is taking on to do that. So it's really, it makes it difficult when you understand from a perspective of the higher realms, why a soul would incarnate to do that. When we understand from that perspective, it's because you needed a polar opposite to your personification. And both of these souls chose that in order to grow, in order to expand, in order to evolve. So it's important to have compassion for those people that are suffering so deeply and took on that role of being that negative polarity. Because that's a trauma of the soul that is going to have to be resolved after that person passes back on. Because in order for that soul to go back into oneness, it's going to have to heal all of the separation that had to be created within that person in order for them to do what they did. And this isn't a justification, not by any means. It is simply the way the energy works. And it doesn't make it right. It doesn't make it, and you can choose to let this empower you, or you can choose to basically continue to be in your feelings about this. And for me, I've had situations in my life where I've been in my feelings for quite a bit of time and been blaming and shaming and guilting and in a space of negativity because of how someone treated me. It wasn't until I was able to see it from that higher perspective and really feel that in my heart that I was able to forgive and I was able to let go of that karma. Because the more that we hold on to, oh, that person did this to me, the more that we hold on to that energy, the more that we maintain ourselves in that toxic loop of this person is wrong because they did this to me, and that person must be bad because they did this. It keeps us in this toxic cycle, and it keeps us from evolving. Ultimately, that's what it does. It keeps us from expanding. It keeps us from truly embodying the magnificence of your being. Your soul is a divine spark. And that other soul is too. Doesn't mean you have to allow them to behave however they're behaving. No, you can cut ties. You can let them go be an ass somewhere else. But when you can, like I did, have compassion, doesn't mean you want that person back. Doesn't mean you're going to allow any fuckery to happen or continue happening. But you understand that their actions have absolutely nothing to do with you. They are the result of that person's traumas and hurts. And the more that they continue behaving that way, the more that they're going to have all of the effects of their bullshit come back to them. And they can continue to project as much bullshit outwards to other people. Ultimately, all of that comes back to that person, just like everything that we do comes back to us. So when we engage in a set of actions, when we do something, and it's not in alignment with your soul, it's not in alignment with the contract you signed, it's not in alignment with your light, you're basically just doing it because this is what you've been told that you need to do, and this is what success looks like, and that is what beauty is, and this is what being a good whatever is. And when you go through the world living your life based on other people's bullshit, what you're doing is you're telling the divine, I'm not good enough. of these gifts you've blessed me with, I don't want them. They're not for me. I'm not good enough. Because you're ignoring all of the blessings you've been given and continue to be gifted, because it's always, the divine is always giving us opportunities, gifts to share our wisdom, to share our love, to share the light, to expand. And those hard circumstances are also places where we were able to expand, hopefully. And there are places where we no longer belong. And human beings, by our nature, we are creatures of comfort. We will do what is easiest, because that is how we are wired. We are wired to seek out comfort and safety, protection. And if we don't know the outcome of what we're going to do, we don't want to do it. Because it's scary. Because, oh well, people that have gone that way, they've never been seen from again. So we're trained and indoctrinated into thinking that it can't be done. That that's for someone else, not for me. And so we stay in our little box. But that's not what we agreed to do. We didn't agree to live life, our life, according to other people's projections and nonsense. We agreed to live a life that honored our soul and the divine, that honored the agreements we entered into. And yes, sometimes the divine had to shake us up, had to take things away because we didn't belong there. And the only way that we were going to move is if the rug got pulled out of from under us. So everything that has happened in our lives serves as a lesson. It's never a punishment. It is a lesson to show us where our frequency is in this moment. It's the mirror showing us what's within. Everything as an opportunity rather than a hindrance or a punishment, we take our power back. We stand and live in our sovereignty, and we express our soul gifts in the way that only we can express it. Because there are many people that have beautiful voices, that are very talented singers, but each one has a different way of expressing that same talent in the voice in a way that is unique to their set of circumstances. Because we chose the body, we chose everything. And that is what we have to remember. There are no accidents, there are no coincidences. Everything is here to feed our huba, to nourish and stoke the flames of that holy desire, and to align us with the infinite light of creation. Because we can take our sexual creative energy, and we can choose to continue to create and perpetuate the karmas and the traumas and the limiting beliefs and the shame and the guilt and the separation. We can choose to do that. Absolutely. We have free will. But that choice is not going to align us with the divine, and is not going to liberate us. It's not going to free us. Because this is what the embodiment of your soul, living your soul essence, it frees you. Because it frees you off of the patterns and the limitations and the traumas and the karmas. It liberates you from living your life according to other people's desires and dreams and whatever's, their traumas and their projections. Because that's the other thing. People project their own traumas and their own stuff, their own negativity. They project it onto us. have to be careful, especially if you're on the spiritual path, to guard yourself against your own projections. Because when you're projecting to someone else, you're also projecting onto you. Because we're all interconnected, we're interrelated. There is no separation. It only appears that way in this world. So the more that we align with the cycles, the more that we work with the earth, with the cycles of the moon, with the cycle, the celestial cycles, the more that we understand the energies and the frequencies that we're working with, the more that we can align ourselves into the full and authentic expression of your soul, your authentic desire. The desire that is not about, hey, look at me. The desire that is about service. The desire that is about contributing to creation, co-creative, active co-creation with the divine frequencies. This is the energy. This is what our soul is here to do. This is what we're here to remember and remind ourselves. We're not here to judge. We're not here to hold on to grudges. When we hold on to grudges and we hold on to this person is like this, so that person, blah, blah, blah. When we do that, we continue to perpetuate separation. And we're here to unify polarity, to transcend polarity within ourselves. Because if we continue to perpetuate separation, all we will experience is more separation. It's like thinking that, well, I must have a solid, steady job in order to be abundant. Your creation energy is what makes you abundant. Nothing outside of you can make you anything if you don't allow it. If you give your power away, yes, everything outside of you can influence you. Absolutely. But that's not what we're here to do. We're not here to live other people's lives, to fulfill other people's dreams, to march to the beat of a rhythm that is not ours. That's not what we're here to do. We're here to liberate ourselves from the chains that have kept us enslaved. And those chains are within. Sure, they can manifest in the external world, but they begin within. If it doesn't exist in the ethers, in our energy field, it's not going to exist in our physical world. Because as above, so below, as within, so without. That is one of the laws of the universe. So it's time to align and nourish that fire within. Nourish the chuba. And we can do that in many ways. We can do that by singing, by doing something we're passionate about, something that makes our heart sing. We can do that by meditating, sound healing, going for a run, exercising, whatever gives you that sense of joy and fulfillment, writing poetry, writing in your journal, traveling, whatever. It can be so many things that can be your practice, your personal practice. I have found that the Aramaic mantras and the Aramaic creation frequencies are the most powerful frequencies to transform and to elevate and to transcend. The most powerful. There, I've worked with many, many mantras, worked with many languages, and every language has a frequency. Aramaic is far and above the most powerful. And it's the most powerful because it holds no duality. It's the language of Yeshua and Mary Magdalene. And if you follow me on YouTube or on Instagram, you will see that I will chant in Aramaic oftentimes. And it really has, it's the most transformative energy and frequencies and powerful frequencies that I've worked with. And there's nothing like it. So I invite you to seek out Aramaic frequencies and see how they feel. because every single one of us has different, we're all different, and different frequencies appeal to us. But this one really elevates. So I encourage you to seek out these beautiful Aramaic frequencies and allow them to open your heart. So in the sound activation, I do speak in Aramaic. I do share some Aramaic words as part of our opening. And it's I will share one here. There is a mantra that I'm loving so much. And if you watch my YouTube video, I sing it in that. There are two YouTube videos for the new moon in Aquarius that I sing this mantra. The mantra is Yesaraya Ephata. And Ephata is it's actually the word that Yeshua used when he would heal. And it means to open. And I always begin the full sound activation. Once I call in the directions, I say Ephata three times to open our field to receiving the healing frequencies of the alchemy bowls and the meditation. And Yesaraya Ephata is opening to the creative forces. So you're opening to the creative, infinite, cosmic energy. And it's my teacher Anna shared it, I think a few days ago now, or maybe a week, I can't remember. But I've began singing that every day, and it's one of my favorite additions. Granted, I do at least an hour and a half. Oh goodness. I do a lot of practice, because for me, maintaining my frequency, especially for what I do, is that what I share, the wisdom, what I teach, it's very, very important. So, and I also love it. I really love the practices I do, which is why I share them. So the chanting, the singing of Yesaraya Ephata, opening yourself to the creative forces, really is a beautiful way to align with this energy of creation, of the stirring of the fire, and aligning with, when you align with creation, with the forces of creation, you're aligning yourself with the frequency of your soul, because your soul is creation. Your soul is here to co-create with the divine, to co-create with the energy and the frequencies that are all around you. So I encourage you to check out my videos and hear how I sing it. And then once you learn the chant, once you learn Yesaraya Ephata, I encourage you to just sing it in a way that feels natural to you, because every single one of us has a unique timbre to our voice, a unique way that our voice sounds when it's not bogged down by the bullshit. When our voice is not, it's not subject to our programs and our patterns and our limitations, when we really allow our voice to express our soul, it sounds different. It's kind of like, so I'm a classically trained soprano. So for me, when I was studying opera, the first thing they would do is they would have you do the scales on the piano to determine where your voice, basically, where was the sweet spot in your voice? And that determined whether you were an alto or a mezzo or a soprano or a coloratura. So for me, I think it was a coloratura. It's been a while. It's been at least 20-something years. So I was either, was I a lyric or a coloratura? I think I might have been a coloratura voice. Anyway, I digress. That's not the point. The point is, our voice has a unique way that is completely yours, that is fully your soul expressing through the voice, that it sounds when it's unencumbered by all of the bullshit. And that is how our voice is meant to express. So like the sweet spot when we're singing, if we're a singer, our voice, the soul has a sweet spot that is uniquely its own. And that is what we must come back to. We must come back to expressing our soul through our body, through the voice, authentically, authentically, truly. Another mantra would be Inanna Emet. Inanna Emet is I am truth. And Inanna is I am. Well, Inanna is the union. It's Ana Ana. So it's the I am, the I am of the human, and then the higher I am, so your higher self. So it's the union of the higher and the lower I ams to elevate it. So Inanna Emet, Emet is truth. And this helps us align with truth, because there's so much nonsense in the world, and there's just so many sources of I don't even want to say misinformation. There are just sources that are not aligned with creation and not aligned with light. And they seek to distort and continue to perpetuate separation. So in order to remove those frequencies and to alchemize them, we must come back to truth. And Inanna Emet allows us to come back and open ourselves to truth, to embody truth. Inanna Emet, Inanna Nukhra de Alma, I am the light of the world. So embodying your light is another beautiful one. And I really like the Inanna Nukhra de Alma and the Yasaraya Efata for this Imbolc season, because that's really aligning with the fire of creation. Emet is great, Inanna Emet is fantastic, but to align with the frequencies of creation and that fire, Inanna Nukhra de Alma and Yasaraya Efata. So I encourage you to try those out and just incorporate them into your practice, 3 to 7 minutes. And if you have an alchemy singing bowl, a regular singing bowl, if you have a Shruti box, or if you have a piano, or if you have whatever it is that you have that's musical, you can do that, or you can just do it just with your voice. And don't be afraid to just sing. So many of us have been, maybe we were told when we were young that we just didn't have a good voice. So that kind of traumatized us, and we think we don't have a good voice, but there's no such thing. There are voices that are, there's no such thing as an imperfect voice. Because your voice is what is exactly what it needs to be in that moment. And the more that you dissolve the layers and the ego and the bullshit around it and the programs, the more that your voice will evolve to be a true and accurate representation of your soul. So don't be afraid of sounding bad. Don't be afraid of how, just share your light through your voice, because our voice creates our world. Our words create. So don't discount your power to manifest and create and birth worlds that flows through your voice. Your creation energy, it's stored, well, the waters of our creation are in our yesod. It stores all kinds of other stuff too, our gifts and our karmas and our traumas. But when we purify these waters, we elevate this energy upwards and we express it into the world through the voice. The connection between the voice and the womb, it's there. And like, there is an absolute correlation between the health of our voice and the health of our womb. This is the health of our ability to manifest, to express, to create, to seed and birth our intentions into the world. So working with sound is exactly what we need to be doing right now to honor these energies of Imbolc, this lunar cycle of Shevat, and really to align with your soul. Human experience from a soul-led perspective, and that will bring mantras to really experience them, to work with them, see how they feel for you, and to seed your intentions and allow them to birth. Nourish your fire, nourish your hupa, your passion, your holy desire. If you enjoyed this, I do encourage you to share, subscribe, give it a 5-star review. I don't even know how that even works, but I guess if you're on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or whatever, please share and give a 5-star review. If you would like to connect with me and follow me on Instagram or on YouTube, become a subscriber to my channel, please do so. The YouTube links and the Instagram links are below. It's at Embodying the Shekhinah and at Aurea Lara on Instagram and at Aurea Lara, AUREALARA on YouTube. And if you are in Los Angeles or plan to be in Los Angeles next weekend, I will be at the Conscious Life Expo and I'm so excited. So if you want to experience wonderful healers and teachers and mystics and all kinds of goodies, check the Conscious Life Expo. Link is below in the show notes. And have a blessed day of the goddess, a blessed Shabbat, a blessed day to align with our soul, and a blessed Imbolc on the 3rd. Ahava. Blessings.